Hello everyone, welcome to the show. I'm back in Australia again from America. I had a good time over there, but today we've got Don Mears. Don, how you going, mate?
Good, thanks, matey. Hello, everyone.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Now, for those who don't know you, could we go into just a little bit of your background and who you are, and then we'll go into why we've got you on the show.
Okay. Right at the moment, I'm the director of a documentary that is finished filming, and now I'm being classified by the name of Australian Skies. And it's a documentary about people who see these strange objects in the sky, sky watchers, essentially, and their involvement with these objects and the back and forth, and also the things that go behind the scenes with getting involved with these objects as well. So I'm a camera production person, come from a live event background as opposed to a film school background. I've come from live events, big events like Commonwealth Games, Rugby World Cups, Asian Games over in the Middle East, things like that. And in the last couple of years have slowly transitioned over into making content. And we started our small company, Dojo Media. We started making bigger and bigger sort of content like films, documentaries, and working for people, but never owning one. And this is actually the first feature-length product that we own, that we've made. So we've done this off our own bat.
Now, with this documentary that you're doing at the moment, the main focus seems to be Damien Knott. Would that be fair to say?
It is. It is Damien. Mm-hmm. And but I often like to, people who talk about that, we, fortunately, Damien was very gracious to give his time and to allow us to utilize him in the documentary. But really, we were trying to make a snapshot and of this phenomena, and more so the people that are affected by it. And Damien just happened to be the person that agreed and got on board with it to be the guinea pig for it, you know. But it's definitely not just about him. It's about the phenomena in general.
Definitely, definitely. And this is, for those who are watching, there's going to be links in the description part of this video underneath where people can go and see the trailers and also follow you on Facebook so they can sort of just follow what's going on at the moment. I think it's important. I think it's important for people to check out the quality and what they can see so far in terms of the trailers and the what parts of the documentary are available. I was at ParaCon 2015 and spoke there with Damien was speaking, my partner Sol Reader also spoke there, and there was sort of like a pre sort of show of, I think it was around a 4 or 5 minute trailer, and it was absolutely high grade quality. The takes on it with some of the witnesses and some parts of the footage that were shown in that, it's been good to see how it was put together. How did your interest start in this, and why did you get into the paranormal? Have you had something happen yourself or seen some things yourself?
That's a big question, that one, isn't it? It's sort of a simple one, but it can be quite hard. Look, my involvement with the paranormal in the immediate sense, I've been involved in the paranormal for the last 5 years within the Sydney community and I suppose the Australian community on a larger level. I came into it working on allegedly other sort of documentaries about ghosts and strange things. And I didn't know it existed at all. I didn't know there was a community at all. And so it was quite an eye-opener for me. And I made friends in it, and I was intrigued by people who were in the community and became involved like that. As far as my own experiences go, I'm not a person who has, I don't have experience. I don't see ghosts or anything like that. I just have an interest in it. I come from the Star Wars generation, you know, and science fiction and whatnot. So it's been something that I'm straight across the board with. I'm interested in ufology. I'm interested in the paranormal. I'm also interested in cryptozoology. So, but having said that, though, There was one time that my wife and I, we did see something up in the sky years ago in 2003, which I kind of tucked away at the back of my mind and possibly has come back to sort of haunt me in doing projects like this and spurred me on, you know. So.
So, would it be fair to say that you've been skeptical going into this? And I don't mean that in a negative way from either way. I actually like skeptics and skepticism because that way we may not be able to come to some understanding, but we start to delve between the real stuff and what's not real, looking at things logically. Because I think a real skeptic looks at both sides of the argument and tries to sort of, you know, have a level playing field by being objective and looking at things, you know, with open eyes but not a closed mind. So would it be fair to say you've looked at this field and ufology and cryptozoology and the paranormal with this sort of eye, being somebody yourself that's doing media with it?
Look, I can actually remember the first time I actually worked on what went on one of these ghost things when we were filming, you know. And I remember walking with road cases, looking over my shoulder, thinking that every shadow there was a ghost standing there. So I started off actually probably just being very believing in everything, like an average person, not knowing what the hell was going on. And the more I've gone into it, possibly the more skeptical I've become because, as you spend time investigating and researching, I suppose I'm not a researcher or investigator, but as more you spend time around it, you know, sometimes there's more plausible explanations for things. Coming into Australian skies, though, I wouldn't say I was skeptical, although your description of a skeptic, I think, is it's very healthy. I think I was more intrigued, and I definitely had an idea of what I wanted to do, and I had an idea for the film, and it is a documentary, it's a document. And I wanted to go in and have a look at the field and have a look at the people that were being affected by this for whatever reason it is, whatever the explanation is. That's not up to me to divulge or to explain. I don't know what it is. But what I found intriguing were the people, such as yourself, and other people out in the community that, in particular, were sky watching and were having, I mean, I think the term is photographic contactees, the people that actually do get a feeling about these objects, and then they might be watching TV and then come outside and have a camera. And instead of catching these fleeting glimpses, they can sit there and film these things for 3 or 4 minutes, or you know, 2 minutes, or whatever it is. And there doesn't seem to be too many of those people, but they are, and they're starting to come up. And I think it's like a new corner that perhaps the current sort of ufology's gone around. But anyway, it's a new corner for people like me who I consider to be outside it looking in, as opposed to being inside ufology. And I think that was really what we were trying to do, is trying to make something that people could watch who were not inside the ufology community, but might have a passing interest, might have had their own experiences, or might have just sort of a vague inkling that they'd like to see something like this and take them on a journey along that path.
Well, that's actually a really good thing, and I've actually got a documentary being made about myself at the moment with that approach, which I was very happy to hear something like that. Not a believe or, you know, a debunking documentary, but something going, look, something's going on here, and I'm glad that you've brought up the point because I think it's very important of, you know, these contactees like myself, where it's like people think we're out hours every night, and Damien, and I know Damien very well, we're good friends. And it's not the case now. We may do some sky watches. I myself, I take people sky watching. But when I get the really good stuff, I just know that something's about to go down, like Damien. You go and grab the camera and you walk out. And, you know, within a few minutes or straight away, you know, there is something that you're filming, you know, sometimes for half a minute, sometimes up to, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, whatever the case may be. This is something that's starting to happen more, like you said. And I think it's an important point, because it shows that there's something else going on in terms of whether it's psychic or consciousness, whatever people want to label it. It's interesting from the outside of how many times somebody can constantly keep on doing this. So for yourself to sort of look at that aspect, it's very relieving from my point of view as somebody outside looking in on people experiencing this.
Yeah, I think that we were, from a media point of view, I thought it would be interesting as well to have a film that goes through without that sort of tongue-in-cheek or rolling of the eyes kind of attitude, but just to be a passenger. And I knew what I didn't want to do was to have a UFO documentary that had someone come up and sit on camera and talk quite openly and revealingly about their life, and then do a cut screen to a psychologist cutting them down about why they're insane. And look, structured documentary and traditional documentary, that is the format where you have the for and against, and it goes across both. And that is very valid. And there are fantastic UFO documentaries made along that pathway. What I wanted to do was to go on an adventure and bring Damien out of his comfort zone and put him through his paces in a certain degree, and climb inside his head with letting the viewers come with me and see it through my eyes. And instead of being a flag waving, yeah, I believe, just sit there and just be neutral and just see what happens. What is going on here? And ask the questions that everyone's asking, and try and just remain open to the concepts and what's going on with it. And yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting, very hard to describe, and it was very hard to pitch it. And I had to talk to my crew about it, what the idea was at the very beginning before we started filming. It was very vague with what we were going to do, but I'd been doing sort of similar sort of stuff to know that sometimes you just have to have all the cameras ready and just be ready to go. And if you can set the situation up, and you can make your subject comfortable and not be deceptive by trying to make them trust you, but actually get them to trust you and you to trust them, and not to have some sort of a thing going where there's a Stockholm syndrome where you're wanting to become an abductee or anything like that, but you're just going to sit there and just go, look, this is an opportunity for you and I to actually see if we can film something here quite unique and to make something quite different. And that's how we kind of set out to do it. Damien was very involved in it as well. He was fantastic to work and very patient, not complaining at all. And there's things there, man. We use drones. We do a lot of experimentation with drone aircraft, and we take him kayaking and take him to different locations he's never been before. It's not like your standard sort of documentary, you know?
No, that's fantastic. Now, as I said, Damien's a good friend of mine. I know him to be very genuine. I've had experiences and seen stuff with him. He's definitely the real deal, and it's great that you've been able to use him as a subject and gain his trust in certain areas in being able to do this. Was there anything that you saw? Because I think Damien relayed on one of the shows that I've done with him about an event where I think it might have been you, there was a sighting, but somebody can't remember having the sighting, but yet he filmed that.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I'm not going to go too much into it. I want people to come and watch it, you
Yeah,
know.
no, that's fine, that's fine,
But
but
there is, yeah, I, there is some strange, there were some strange things that happened throughout the filming of it all. And, so I'm not going to say, I still am fairly neutral with it all. But instead of, it's just, it got interesting. It got really interesting. Yeah. There were some things where I personally couldn't remember some things that were going on when we were filming it. I was there filming. So, yeah, it got a bit strange towards the end.
Now, it's just an interesting point because it shows how this phenomena, whatever people want to label it, can do things that, I find more fascinating. I've learned a lot more about myself through my interactions and what's going on. It's more like the high strangeness factor. It's not just about lights in the skies people go into this field thinking about. It's what is behind the lights in the skies and the consciousness, things that go on in terms of high strangeness. Now, we don't want to give too much out, but was there much in terms of high strangeness that you experienced besides what we just mentioned? Like anything besides light in the skies? Other things that sort of opened you up to other realms within this phenomena?
There were things that happened that we didn't put on screen because they were too odd. And it gets to the point where you go, no one's going to believe this. So, and there were some things that there's always a borderline. There is always a border that this phenomena traverses. And it's also what side of a fence you sit on. And it's also your belief systems come into play a fair bit with what you believe is happening as well. And we didn't, we sifted through a lot of stuff. We had some things going on with Damien's cameras in his room. We at night we had cameras set up filming him at night in his hotel rooms, and coming back and examining things afterwards when we're all out filming, there were strange, there were allegedly some strange things happening on the cameras when no one was in his room in the afternoons when we're all out filming and he's with us and no one's in the hotel room. But that's not stuff I really want to go into because it can't be validated, it can't be proven or disproven. But there were, there's, you can see how, context plays a lot with this sort of stuff. I still believe in coincidence. And I think that a lot of people in this field who get affected by this phenomena, at some stage they leave behind that belief in coincidence. And they believe that there's something more serendipitous that's happening. There's more joining of it all. You know what I mean? Their beliefs change. And I think that I'm still at that stage where I still believe in coincidence. But there's definitely more to what is going on with people and what this phenomena is than what I thought there was before, where I thought there was perhaps just a lot of misidentifications and drone sightings and things like that. There's just too many people that experience this stuff and too many people that see it. And it's not just people that see and feel as though they're in communication with something. I mean, look at the guys in Melbourne and look at all the stuff that they get and all the strange things that happen there. And there's guys in Brisbane as well. I mean, there's people around Australia that, via the social media that are connected and are sharing their experiences and whatnot. And at some stage, people are going to, someone's going to have to do some more experimenting and some more testing of what is actually going on. Because it's at this stage beyond me, but it definitely is intriguing.
It is. This is where I sort of sit back and laugh because I think where you're coming at it from is healthy skepticism, and I like healthy skepticism. Because the problem with this whole arena is people go into the belief mode. And the thing is, I don't believe anything. I know what I know. And there's things that I leave to belief out of my mind now because unless I experience it, I don't throw anything in the black basket, so to speak, anymore. I leave it in a grey area because 2, 3 years later, I've been proved wrong on a lot of things. I personally have moved to Melbourne now, and I'm having more stuff go on than ever with a lot of witnesses. And this is where I'm filming very similar stuff to Damien during the day. It's not nighttime stuff, it's during the day, just like him. And yes, we get the nighttime stuff, but it's something that's going on everywhere. There's a lot of people like Brad Morris and others here in Melbourne that are getting amazing footage. People in Brisbane, like you said, it's a worldwide thing. So this is where I've said it with Damien before, the thing that's going on now is that since the 50s and the 60s, if we go back to Hynek and Jacques Vallée and all those dudes, great work. I'm not dissing them. But we need to find some other angle, especially with today's technology and the advancements, to add on to what they've done. Because from my point of view, it goes a lot deeper. And Alan Hynek in his later years went into the consciousness state, which he didn't go much into, but those that work with him that I know said this is where he went. And it's because this is where it leads to. Now, the same theories that held strong in the 50s and 60s and even 70s have not changed here in 2015. So I have a problem with that. And I think it's great that you're bringing up, whatever we've got to do, I don't know. I personally don't know, and I'm experiencing this. But to bring an awareness to it is a very great thing, and that's what we need. We need more awareness and more people brainstorming on this because with today's technology and things that we can do that we couldn't do years ago, there should be some things that we can do to capture more things. And like Damien, I keep a camera around my neck 24/7 because you just don't know what's going to happen. But there is that conscious aspect that I'm glad that you even looked at in terms of these people that know when to go outside because they feel there's something about to happen and then they go out and see that. going back a little bit before Australian Skies, you said you did some paranormal type shows or filming. How did that sort of play on you with that aspect? What's been your experience when doing that filming, and did you see anything, or what made you think about that field in general itself? Because there's something that I've come to, and that's the conclusion that these are all interconnected, and it's through personal experience and too much to elaborate on here, but what was the interest there, and did you see any overlaps between the UFO phenomena and the paranormal side?
No, personally, I know that there are a lot of people that allege that it does overlap, and I'm sure it does. And I'm, again, it come, you know, who knows what we're dealing with. The paranormal, there's still, I mean, you're talking about something here that is, the functionality of the way this works is that you have your paranormal guys who like paranormal, you have your UFO guys that like UFO, and you have your crypto guys that love cryptozoology. And they don't really like to hopscotch between them, between each of the formats, you know what I mean? And whether that is some sort of derivative of American culture or something that's thrown down there, I don't know. But yeah, there does seem to be some sort of a reality to it, that is that this strange stuff, it is high strangeness, which is a term that's kind of been coined. But no, people do like to stay in their own categories.
I have a problem with that, and I'll tell you why I have a problem with people staying in certain categories. I think people need to focus on one or two areas, because there's no way you can cover all this. But yeah, when I've talked to people in the paranormal field, and I said, I was doing paranormal investigation before I even came out about the UFO stuff, and I still help people, but there are things when you look at high strangeness or the so-called abduction phenomena or contact phenomena, I could go to a haunted house and the people are actually having interactions with otherworldly beings and have got no frigging clue because they've watched ghost hunting shows and that's what they think's going on. And then I've gone to places where people think they're having interactions with otherworldly beings, and it is, but some of it's residual hauntings or an intelligent haunting, but they haven't had the education and they're coming from it from their own preconceived notion and their blinders shut down to it's one thing or the other. And this is where I think people need to pull their finger out and overlap things, because this is why things are staying stale since the 50s and 60s, because everyone's looking at it with their blinders on. And this is where even I've had a lot of experiences, I don't know what the hell is going on. And this is where I can go, well, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And this is where I have talked to a lot of people in the paranormal field, and it seems that that's breaking down, which is, you know, for me to see, that's a great thing, because I'm somebody that had no one to go to. I called out for help and nobody came when I needed it. And then when I ended up getting famous later on, everyone wanted to get on the bandwagon. And it's not about that. It's about what the hell is going on. Because as you could see with Damien, this has affected Damien's life in every single way and the other people you've spoken to. It affects relationships, it affects work, it affects health, it affects your way, your outlook on reality. So this is something where it's been good to see that you've looked after Damien, so to speak, because a lot of people will chew and spit people out like us just for the fact that they'll get what they want from it. And it's good that you're looking at things differently from that perspective. With the Australian Skies, do you see this getting bigger than just one thing that you've done at the moment with Australian Skies in terms of this documentary featuring Damien?
I don't know. We are wanting to see how, if it gets accepted by the community in general, you know. It's one thing for me to want and to hope, but the realities of these things are is that they're expensive to make, even on a no-budget, low-budget film, they're expensive. And it's still such a turbulent time in Australia and the world, for that matter, for filmmakers with the internet. In some ways, it's a lot easier to make things, but in some other ways, it's a lot harder to make things today. And, you know, it's a question mark about it all. Ideally, it would be fantastic if people understand it and enjoy it and get behind it and come and see it and don't take the effort, you know, and that's what we kind of need. Without that, another filmmaker will die off. Mm-hmm. And that's why people say we don't have anything good in Australia, The problem is because there is already so much content out there made primarily by America, and it's already free and all that sort of stuff. If we don't support our artists, if we don't support our filmmakers, our musicians, or whatever they are in within your community, and when I say support, I don't mean Facebook like, I mean by your cash. I mean it. Facebook likes and hugs, they are very supportive. That's great. It's a great feeling. But money, unfortunately, is the thing that enables us to continue on. And I'm not going to sit here and doing a pledge, otherwise I'd be doing Kickstarter campaigns. And we didn't. We just brunted this and did it off our own because it was something we really believed in and we really wanted to explore. But, I would love it to go. And I can see where it could go. I think Australian Skies, things are looking up. It has that subtitle because it was the first and it was going to be rough around the edges. It was our first, we just moved to 4K. We had two 4K cameras and we thought, well, let's experiment now with our own film and let's try this out and let's pull in a crew. And we had film students come and help us and we had crew and all this sort of stuff. And we thought, let's see if we could get a building block or a platform somewhere, something that perhaps we could use to go into this category, this discussion further down the track. And the difficult thing was to try and make a documentary that it's, look, here's how it works. I mean, usually with documentaries, you either have fantastic looking documentaries that are technically perfect. A lot of times, though, their content is lacking. And other times you have stuff that can be quite lacking, but the content's quite compelling. And I actually think that we've managed to kind of get right a good balance between the two. I'm actually kind of happier than more shocked that we managed to get what we had than when we began, because like I said, we didn't have a storyline for this. We were just going to set up situations and set up things and go for it. So as a platform, I think we've got it
So you've
now.
sort of been winging it.
Oh, it's complete winging. I mean, how do you know yourself? How do you turn this stuff on like a tap? You can't.
Yeah,
You
you've
know,
just got to have the intent and just be prepared if something goes on. That's all you can do.
it's like fishing. You can have all the best gear in the world. You can have everything all set up. You can have everyone waiting, and you go out there, and the fish aren't biting, man. You're not going to get anything. And there were times when that happened, but there were also other examples of things that, kind of fell within this category that we're trying to explore. So, but yeah, as a result, I mean, yeah, I can definitely see, I would like to see something else happen with Australian Skies, and I'd like to have it as something that could be built on, and it's got the potential to do it, and it's got the potential to move to different people, to move to Melbourne and have a look at what was happening there, and people like Liam. Freeney, who you've had on your show, I
Yeah.
mean, another guy that is phenomenal. He's a, like, first off, he's a lovely guy and just a very down
He's
to
very
earth.
down to earth, definitely.
And yeah, that's really good because people want to be able to relate to people. They don't want to have too much airy fairy. They definitely need to have that very beginning. They need to have someone there who is pretty much an ordinary person having an extraordinary event, and that will take them in. And Liam is another guy that kind of falls into that category. And the stuff that he's kind of been filming, that stuff is intriguing.
It's
You ever
amazing.
see his stuff, right?
Oh yeah, we met at the latest Paracon, and as soon as I met him, you could just see him and Damien are both down to earth, normal Aussie
Yeah.
blokes. And if you didn't know about any of this with them, you just think, oh, these guys are great. And then,
I
yeah,
mean, the
just.
same can be said for you, mate. I mean, I would not imagine that you, an ex-rapper and the hip-hop, the whole thing like that, and your background, to look at where you are today to where you were 10 years ago. I mean, you couldn't look for a more of a metamorphosis than what you've already achieved. I mean, it's incredible, isn't it?
Definitely. And this is where that's a big testimony, I think, to people's experiences, especially if you get to talk to some people surrounding these experiences, like myself and Damien and Liam, because you just see that these are normal, down-to-earth people. But the great thing about this is you can't make this up. And when you talk to people like us and Damien and Liam, especially, the stories on their experiences, just you wouldn't want to even tweak it to put stuff to make it up, because it's already out there enough that to try and perceive and ponder on what they've experienced, you know, it bends the mind. And that's where I sit back and laugh and I just expect anything, because my story's out there enough, just like many others out there, that it's just all adds on to what's going on out there. And Liam's definitely got some amazing footage, just like Damien.
He has. You know, and it's, I find it exciting to talk to people like that and about their experiences, because it's actually quite incredible. And I think that a lot of people within the community, they forget how incredible it sounds, but it is quite fascinating. And when you bring it back to people being stopped by, you know, what we're going to say, government agents as they're on their way to do a talk and all this sort of stuff. I mean, it's something like out of the X-Files. But, you know, and you, but when you see the footage of it happening, and when you see things like helicopters hovering above houses and you roll your eyes and go, yeah, sure, mate, you know, but then they bring up and they show you the footage.
I filmed that today. My partner filmed that exactly over the house today, to tell you the truth.
This is when, from a punter's point of view, it starts to get interesting. From a filmmaker's point of view, you start to go, are you serious? Okay, and then you start to see some other things about surveillance and photographs and things, and you go, okay, you know, it's interesting. It starts to paint a picture. And, this is where it should go as well. I mean, it needs to go down that path carefully, and the media need to be very careful with you guys as well. And I know you've been trampled all over. I mean, I've seen Damien get trampled over by media before as well.
Oh, yeah. But I've been screwed by him as well. So that's why I took control of that.
I mean, I have advice. Anyone who's actually doing this stuff, just ignore television. Don't try and get on TV. TV is dead. It's a dinosaur. It's gone. Mm-hmm. The future of where we're going as far as media goes, or these genres, is going to be within the community. Mm-hmm. And I think for the future of ufology and paranormal and all these fringe related kind of areas, the future has to be from within the community. It has to come from filmmakers who are not just suddenly appearing and you know, they don't have a track record with people or whatever like that. It's got to come from people who actually have been in there for a while and have a bit of a proven history behind them. Because I think the one thing with Australian Skies, what I wanted to, because I have, like I said, been 5 years doing the paranormal sort of stuff, and if you were into the ghost sort of thing, you probably would have seen or heard stuff that we've done before with or without even knowing it, you know, because we've worked with some of the biggest places around the country and blah, blah, blah. But with Australian Skies coming to ufology, I mean, I wanted to have it so that I could come and talk to you, be responsible for what I'm creating. You know, be accountable. I mean, you see these ghost shows like Haunting Australia and stuff like that, and you never know who's making them. You just might see a couple of hosts on TV, but you never get to see anyone actually talk about the responsibility that they have in what they're creating and how what they're creating is changing the way people are perceiving the people that are on the screen. And I think that was a really important thing. Something I take personal responsibility for by, you know, turning up and talking to you about these things and letting it go on the internet and you know, picking my brain about stuff, because I have to be accountable for what we're making here. Like you said, we have to be careful. We've got people's lives that we're, you know, right or wrong, that we are affecting, and it's not something I take lightly.
Well, that's the thing where I think to further discussions like this and to further evolve as a collective here, we need to be able to throw ideas around without, you know, pointing the finger and going, well, no, that doesn't agree with my point of view and this and that, because we're not going to evolve. And this is where doing stuff like you're doing and I'm doing and everyone who's doing this sort of thing, the more that we can sort of make an open discussion to other ideas and things, you know, thumbs up to it, because again, what we're doing is not working and we need to do something else different. And I believe just pulling down, you know, our, you know, barriers and going, well, I'm open to hear anything, whether I'm going to believe it or not, it's another thing. But we need to open that up. One thing I'd like to go back to, we spoke about black helicopters and, you know, that type of thing. Has there been any weird stuff go on for you while doing this at all, or you just don't want to reply to that?
Not me. Oh, look, there's been a couple of things, but nothing I would sit there and go, here we go. We did have some weird things. I'll divulge this before anyone's actually even seen the film. A lot of the film, we went out to a place called Fig Tree Valley, which is a location in Queensland that, yeah, has a sort of a local reputation as being a bit of an odd place. And it was a sort of an area that is hard to get into. And fortunately, we had some local people and people on the crew who were able to help get us in there. And we used these locations for a lot of our filming and a lot of the backdrop to the experiments that we were doing, and also some of the experiences that people were allegedly were happening. And one of the things we did at one area of that was we had a drone day where we have a drone pilot that Dojo Media uses, and we, when we met at Paracon with Damien and yourself, actually, I mean, and I was listening to all these talks, and they're talking about how these objects are allegedly attracted to other aircraft, airborne things, whether it be helicopters, aeroplanes of terrestrial nature, you know, even birds. And Damien in particular, I sat through his talk, he had images and pictures of helicopters up with these objects around them, and birds even with these objects around them. And you sit there and you think, oh, well, it was maybe a bird. But then he'd show you something where there's a flock of birds, and then one of these objects would kind of come and then arc right around intelligently and move off. And I was like, wow, man, that's interesting, you know. So I had the idea of, what if we used a drone and we brought up one of these photographic contactees like Damien, and we used the drone and Damien as bait? Would it be able to attract, or, and if you had this communication between them, could a drone be a way of instigating an alleged communication, if you want to talk about it like that? You know, we don't know what it is, but so that was one of the ideas that we had. And in this area, very rural area, very country-fied, and the owner of the property was there and the whole thing. And we, way after filming, the owner of the property started, first off, he was in the backyard, and out of the blue, he saw a big black drone come over. And it was not a object, it was a drone, like a bigger than what we were using, a big octagon sort of drone, which is very odd in the area that it is, because no one around there would really have one, and the legalities of flying one of those things, blah, blah, blah. And that was a bit odd. And then he saw an object in the sky and filmed it as well. And he also started getting vehicles, like vans, turn up and sit out the front of this little
community. Were they white vans by any chance?
I can't remember right now, white or black or blue, I can't remember, but it happened for 2 days in a row. And enough that he was a bit concerned. And it's a road where there's one road into the community, so to speak, with a lot of big properties that off, you know, 60-acre properties that break off, you know. Everyone knows everyone, and you just don't go down there unless you've got a reason to go there. It's not even a place you could make a wrong turn. And to have these things sit, and eventually all the locals were going to get ready to barricade one of these vans in and go in and see who and what they were doing. But so, yeah, look, there was odd things like that, which, you know, it just starts to get a bit weird.
Well, that is the weird part, you know. It's very weird within itself, and the amount of black helicopters and stuff, you know, whether it's been in America, here I've been seeing, this is something where somebody or something knows what's going on, and it gets a lot deeper than that when looking in on this. And this is where I think, unless you experience it enough times, that's when you go, it's beyond a coincidence. But in saying that, how's this affected yourself and some of the crew in your outlook on reality when you do something like Australian Skies and the paranormal shows? Is there things you sit up and ponder on all night and then you go, I've got to stop this because it's like the dog chasing the tail? What came first, the chicken or the egg sort of thing? Like, has it, you know, been something that at times you've become obsessed over just in your general research and that sort of thing?
You know, look, I think you want to hear me say yes, 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 but no, it hasn't, because I keep a very firm stance with it that I'm there to document. Mm-hmm. I'm there as a filmmaker. I'm not there as an investigator. And I don't think that investigators and make good documentary makers, because eventually I think the crossover there will lead someone to their belief system. If I go in as a documentary maker, I leave all my beliefs and personal opinion, I try and nullify them and just go in and as the subject, as they're experiencing things or as they feel things or whatever that is happening to them. Sometimes if you put your own flavour on things, it can corrupt it, and you have to be careful, and especially with dealing with people like Damien and people in the paranormal field and all this sort of stuff. When you make a decision that you're going to go and make something like this, you don't want to try and overthink it. You just have to sometimes just be very neutral and very calm, very zen-like. And because sometimes if you put too much, it's almost like then you're putting pressure on them to perform. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I'm just neutral and it just happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. You know, it's all very real. So no, I don't.
So obviously you've been able to keep pretty grounded while doing this, which is a good thing, because, I wasn't looking for a yes answer. I was looking to see how you've been able to deal with it, because some people do get carried away, and that's something that I see is sad, because somebody that experiences this, people like Damien and myself have got to live this, but if you're able to keep sort of grounded doing this and still be skeptical in a healthy manner, that's very productive for your life, for your outlook on things, and also for the work that you're doing, because by the sounds of things, this is a type of documentary that you could probably show somebody that has never looked into this subject and somebody that's an expert, you know, so-called expert, I don't know what an expert is anymore, and they would both find this fascinating and entertaining, because from what you can see from the trailers, and something that I know now, having stepchildren of my own, is people these days need things quick and fast, whether it's entertainment, games, and it's a shame in such a way, you know, a lot of less people are reading less books, they want things to be more quick, but you've been able to actually do that in such a way, just from the trailer, it's enough to where it's fast, entertaining, but not draining, and you can sort of absorb. That's just from seeing the trailers, the three trailers you've got, and you can see that you've put your personal journey spin on it, not your preconceived notions, but your spin in terms of this is my journey looking into this, and you can see you've been very much neither way on the subject, which is very healthy. So I can't wait to see it, and I know a lot of people are really sort of waiting to see that. So at the moment the documentary is being classified, is it?
Yeah, it's still in the classification process. Hopefully that'll be finished in the next couple of weeks.
How does that, and then, what's the process with the classification?
You need to send the film in to the Australian government to get it classified if you're planning on releasing it into the public. So if you're just going to put it online, you don't need to do that. But if you plan on, by way of ever making money from it, or perhaps putting it to some film festivals and things, which we definitely intend on doing, there's a couple of film festivals in America that I've really got my eye on. I like that there's an EBE Awards over in Nevada, and really target for that. In classification as well, you know, I'm responsible. I want to be, when people know what they're coming to see, I want people to not and have a whole heap of swear words thrown at them, or have young kids there, or people that are shocked. You know, I want to be a responsible filmmaker and abide by those kind of guidelines that the government's kind of outlined. So that's why we're doing it. It also gives us a bit more freedom with where we can take the film later down the track. So the film's interesting, man. I mean, we kind of talk about the objects. The focus always seems to be on the objects. And this film, you know, it's an odd one. There's a sadness that runs through it, you know? There's a real sadness that runs through it. And, when we were making it, there was a real side that I started to sense and I started to get, you know, where you start to climb in and walk in another person's shoes and other people's shoes who, you know, and, it can get quite heavy. And it turned out interesting. couple of people. I don't think people will be sitting there thinking that's going to be a very dry sort of doco that's going to have that for against argument. It's definitely going to be interesting.
So, you know, hanging out with Damien, what was your thoughts on Damien? You know that I'm mates with him, but how did it go with you sort of going on that journey with him and just hanging out with him? Was there sort of lots of things that you started to really see how this affects people, like being there with him?
Yeah, you know, Damien's a guy that you will... It'll take you a while to actually get down through some layers, you know. He's a guy that is obviously, and rightly so, quite protective. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy that is, you know, he lives this thing, you know, this whole phenomena and this whole experience that's happening. It plays such an important part of his life. Like, it's actually a priority in his life. Mm-hmm. And that's a fascinating thing to watch from a documentary maker's point of view, to find someone who is that passionate about something or is feeling that they're experiencing something that's so full on that it's consumed their life. And that you don't find that much these days. Normally you, you know, you'll go and make a thing on a ghost hunter or something like that. And, you know, the guy's getting possessed by the devil or something, whatever, on Sunday night, and then Monday morning he's off to pay the rent, you know, and or he's off to pay his mortgage and he's dropping the kids off at school and doing the dishes, you know. Whereas Damien is, he walks that life. He's in his own little world, you know. He's kind of a little rock star of his own kind of thing, one of those kind of Jim Morrison sort of rock stars where he doesn't know what's going on around him. You've almost got to pick him up and pick him up from an airport or a train station and get him there and you know, just... Because he's always got his eyes on the sky, you know. He really does. It's quite interesting to examine him and watch how he functions. And it's
a testament to what he's experiencing too, that how serious it is, because that's how it's been for myself. And unless people that know me before all this go, it's like something else jumped inside your body. And you can see the same take that's been on me is the same with Damien in terms of it's like, it's that serious. There is, you know, it's very little time to think about anything else because there's this drive that you don't know why you got this drive to research and film and document and, you know, talk to people about this because it's so real that it's our reality, but nobody else is experiencing it. That's why being able to show this and do that is such a passion to get it out there for both of us.
It's the thing that came across with me was the frustration you guys feel. There's just this enormous frustration, and there's this like almost an evangelical sort of fervor to get a message out, and you're not quite sure what the message is, you know, like Damien's just, you know, and these guys, they've just got like something they want to share, but they just don't quite know what it is, but they know there's something there. It's like an itch you just can't get, you know. There's a really funny thing I talked to Damien about in the film. I said, look, if the budget wasn't a problem and if you know, there was no constraints with your time and stuff, and we just said, you know, whatever you want to do it, let's go film it, whatever. And Damien, what's your five best places? And Damien listed off five places like, you know, Ayers Rock and you know, places where he'd like to go and visit and do some sky watching. And I said the same thing to Liam. I said, give me your five. You know, if your budget wasn't a problem, if you didn't have to worry about your rent, your mortgage, and you just had the time and you could just focus on this, where would you like to go? What would you like to do? And Liam's response was, I would just sit on my roof. I'd get a folding chair. I'd get a really good camera. And I'd just sit on my roof. I don't need to go anywhere. These things come to me. So, you know, it's a weird thing, man. It's a weird thing for like a punter to hear that. That's really interesting. You know, and that's why we made Australian Skies, was to try and climb inside this experience the best we can. There's so many people that, I think the irony is as well is that you guys, photographic contactees, and I'll bundle you, like, yeah, if it doesn't insult you, this photographic contactees, that a lot of people are almost envious of what you have and are envious of the experiences, and I think, you know, obviously they're envious because, and I think if they knew perhaps some of the repercussions that came in with the experiences, they probably wouldn't be as envious by the sounds of things. But that's the other thing we were trying to do, is to allow people to try and get close enough to almost maybe not taste it, but perhaps smell what is going on with this phenomenon, you know, as best we could.
It's a hard thing to do as well. Like, if people knew the nights that, you know, for me personally, I've cried myself to sleep and then think, you know, days I think I'm nuts, but yet people see this with me, or they can see the evidence. And then to throw that into the mix, that what we're told is our reality isn't, in terms of you sort of go back and look at things and you go, you realise you live a lie to a certain extent. Not that everything's a lie, but that was something that was hard to me, was not just seeing lights in the skies and beings in the home and whatever, but when you start to sort of look at things and re-educate yourself, that was the hardest thing for me, was learning that a lot of what we think we know, we actually don't. And it's based on a belief system which society's set up to do. It's a very hard thing, and that's why being able to do it in the way that you've done it, to go, right, here's a taste, this isn't exactly, but here's a taste, that's very good for people like Damien, myself and Liam, because it's like, it's the next best thing. But, you know, a lot of people wish they could see what we've seen, and some of these people, when they have seen what we've seen, I know personally from experience, when I've seen their reaction, their life completely changes, and sometimes they end up a nutcase for a long time because they can't process what the hell it is that they've experienced. And then, you know, again, this is where I'll say to people, be careful what you wish for. Because what this phenomena does is it can read minds and it can interact on a way where, you know, in time I learned, there's not much, you know, if anything is a coincidence, I don't think that after, but you need to experience that. And that's why I'm healthy and love the way you're healthy at looking at what how you look at it, because I don't want people to believe me and Damien. I want them to educate themselves, and they will come to a conclusion that something definitely is going on here, because that's the problem with society. Again, there's this belief system, but it does change people. And, you know, hanging around Damien and being good friends with him, and we talk occasionally, we bounce off each other, because there's days when you need someone to talk to who knows what you're going through. And I've got my partner in it, and it's great, but sometimes you just need that someone else. And Damien and me have been able to bounce off each other quite a few times, because no matter how much you would love other people to get it, they're not going to get it. That's why you need some people that actually get it, because it is, as you would have seen with Damien, it affects all areas, doesn't it, of their life?
It does. I can tell you now, it's uncanny. It does affect them. And you're hanging out with guys like Damien and Liam. You know, it's quite striking. And that's why, again, I'm always very careful with, very protective of the film. And you know, we often get things through and people inviting us or offering things. And I'm just like, no. I think there's something more to it, mate. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say. Otherwise, I wouldn't be wasting my time on it.
Yeah,
you know
definitely.
What I mean?
And I know that you're sort of not wanting to go too far, but I can understand that.
I'm enthusiastic about it enough. I'd like to think that what I'd like to do with Australian Skies is, I would love it if just the community could see the film and we could work out and go, look, we can probably go for another one. And it would be awesome to be able to spread our wings a little bit further, to get to some other places like Melbourne and to hang out with some other guys, to start to do the same sort of thing of piecing together some more parts of this puzzle from different angles and start to see if we can start to get a jigsaw pieces in place a little bit more. And we started to get it within the film, and we started to get it while we were filming. And there are a couple of times where I had a couple of threads of thought that we were tracking down. No, it would lead to a blank. Well, maybe this is because of this, and no, it'd get down. A couple of times with Liam, you know, me and him had a bit of a chat, and there were a couple of things that he said that he goes, I don't want it on film, but I suspect something like this is happening. And there's been a couple of things where Dan goes, I'm not ready to put this out, but I think it's something like this. And I'm sure that you've got a couple of things where you go, I'm not ready to throw it out there because I'm not sure, and I think, you know, but there's definitely pieces of it that are falling together, which are tangible. I'm not talking like, you know, butterflies and rainbows. We're talking like there's a couple of things here that are physiologically in sound that could be affecting why this stuff is happening. And It'd be a fascinating world if we could continue on this journey and go deeper into it, you know, and start to bring other people in to start to reveal some of the experiences they've had and some of the theories that they've had.
Well, if you're ever down this way, you can stay here as long as you want and do whatever the hell you want, because it's an all-the-time thing for us. And we might not see the crafts every day, but something's walking around the house every day and going on. So we've actually got some trail cameras and stuff like that now, which we're capturing interesting things on after talking to Damien, because anything we can do to document it better, that's the way. But if you ever are down this neck of the woods, you know, feel free to let us know and we'll accommodate you the best that we can do with whatever you need. But it's very healthy what you're doing in the outlook of this. How has it affected the crew that's working with you in doing this? Because obviously there's other cameramen or other people working with you. Has it affected their outlook, whether they're skeptical or not? Has it sort of opened them up a little bit to other things?
Well, camera crew are notoriously skeptical bastards. you know... Yeah, look, we did have some crew that had some things happen to them, and you know, look, it's a thing that just I don't think it changed any of their lives. Some believed and some did. We definitely had a split down the middle where some really didn't really believe and some really did, and then there was myself, which was neutral, and I was like just there to document. And I didn't want to have a crew that were all flag-waving believers in everything, and I didn't want to have a skeptical crew either, you know. No, I think generally speaking, bar one or two of them, they all kept to their own opinions of it. But for a couple of them, they did see some things, so that was interesting as well. So, yeah, there was a couple of us that had a couple of things that we saw. That was interesting.
No, that's good. Just, you know, it's always good to have something happen that sort of makes you think, or, you know, go, oh, that's interesting. It keeps things interesting, not boring, that's for sure. Now, the documentary is going to be out. We're not sure because, as you said, there's classification things going on. But just...
I like to see it out in September, yeah. October. I mean, the idea, we're still brainstorming what we're going to do with it. It's an indie film. You know, this is not backed by anyone, and every move we make with it costs us money.
Is there any way you could sort of make a digital download copy available with the right protectors so people couldn't share it, or...?
We're going to have video on demand, and we're going to do the film festivals. That's the one thing that I really wanted to do with it. One thing I was really wanting, though, was to just have a one-off screening in each state, or just in Brisbane, Sydney and Melbourne, and open it up for people to come and view it in a theatre. And so we're looking into doing that, having a one-off special VIP. So, like, you know, it's just open for the community. If you want to come, you can come. And then from there, we'll be entering, once we get those sort of screenings out of the way, then I think we'll be going into the film festivals for the next 6 months, where we'll take the film overseas and try and get into the America. And I'm even thinking, we're even trying to work out whether we can subtitle it for the Mexican or Spanish-speaking audiences as well, because it's such a big phenomenon that happens in Mexico, you know, that this is something that this film, I think, would be quite applicable for people over there as well. So we're looking at it from that angle.
What I've seen and talking to Damien, and even Damien said, like, it's one of the best things he's seen. Like, and he's blown out that he's part of it, because just the quality and the way it's done, the professionalism, I think it's going to be something that's really going to shock the UFO community in terms of just the quality and how things are done personally. Because you're using 4K cameras and you're using things as professional as you can get, and the UFO field hasn't been able to really use something like that yet. And I've just bought a 4K camera myself, but it hasn't been... Like, this is, you know, basically four times HD in terms of clarity and, you know, but again, it comes into how things are cut, edited and produced. But I think, you know, just seeing the trailers as well, it looks like something that's, you know, A-class quality. So, thumbs up to you.
Thanks, mate. I mean, look, I think the guys are really very generous, you know, and there's things, technical things there that I sit and I go, ah. But like I said, it was our first 4K sort of film. We've obviously been working with 4K a lot more since then, because it's almost a year ago that we started filming Australian Skies. But what Australian Skies does have is soul. And that's one thing that I think a lot of UFO documentaries don't have. I will say this, I'm very critical of my own work. I'm very critical of my own work, you know. And I don't like talking things up. I prefer to just let other people enjoy it or not enjoy it, you know. But one thing that it does have is soul, and it's definitely got something there that is compelling, and its content is king. It's got good content. So I'm looking forward to being able to share it, you know. It's just all of these sort of hurdles we've got to jump over to get there. It seems like it's dragging on forever, but in actual fact, we did our first filming of this in December, and it's almost the middle of the year now. It's been finished now for about a month or awesome. So, you know. So we're just now, there's so much, you know, I'm exhausted. After making the thing, you sit there and think, God, I'd like to have a break, but now this whole marketing thing and trying to organize things and, you know, duplication and all the technical thing, there's a whole different kind of, a lot of doorways you've got to walk through before you can actually get it to the public, you know.
Yeah.
And that's where we're at. But we're on course. We're actually probably ahead of schedule. So,
oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, we'll wrap it up there. But, Don, thank you so much for coming on the show. I do post a lot of what you guys are doing on Facebook and that and the trailers, just so people are aware of it through the blog as well. So keep me up to date, and I'm always checking on that. But thanks for coming on the show. And again, to the viewers and listeners, if they go where they got this show or beneath the video, there'll be links to the Facebook and the website and also the YouTube channel as well for Dojo Media and Australian Skies, which is Alien Australian Skies at the end.
Yeah,
a good little trick there. But Don, we'll wrap it up there, mate, and thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you, mate. Thank you for your support. And also, thank you for all the people in the UFO community who support us in the backgrounds and the people that have just been very, very generous with us, you know, and we've been blown away and blessed by it, you know. So we definitely don't take it for granted, and really very, very thankful. So, and thank you again.
No worries. Cheers, mate, and thank you.
Cheers, mate. All right.